Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 1, The Supreme Lord is Equal to Everyone, text number 25. Yadnibhado vimanoyam tadvidat praninam vadaha tatana yasya kaivalyad abhimano kilatmanaha Parasya dhamma karator hi himsa kena sya kalpate kalpyate. Yet, in which nibbada bound abhimana false conception. I am this, tat of that body, vadat from the annihilation, praninam of the living beings, vada annihilation, tata similarly, na not, yasya of whom. Kaivalyat, because of being absolute, one without a second. Abhimana, false conception. Akilatmanaha, of the super soul of all living entities. Parasya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Dhammakaratu, the Supreme Controller. He certainly hingsa harm kena how asya his kalpyate is performed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Wow. Because the bodily conception of life, the conditioned soul thinks that when the body is annihilated, the living being is annihilated. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Controller, the super soul of all living entities. Because he has no material body, he has no false conception of I and mine. It is therefore incorrect to think that he feels pleasure or pain when blasphemed or offered prayers. This is impossible for him. Thus he has no enemy and no friend. When he chastises the demons, it is for their good. And when he accepts the prayers of the devotees, it is for their good. He is affected neither by prayers nor by blasphemy. Purport. Because of being covered by material bodies, conditioned souls, including even greatly learned scholars and falsely educated professors all think that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. This is due to their bodily conception of life. Krishna has no such bodily conception, nor is his body different from his self. Therefore, since Krishna has no material conception of life, how can he be affected by material prayers and accusations? Krishna's body is described herewith as Kaivalya, none different from himself. Since everyone has a material bodily conception of life, if Krishna had such a conception, what would be the difference between Krishna and the conditioned soul? Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are accepted as final because he does not possess a material body. As soon as one has a material body, he has four deficiencies. But since Krishna does not possess a material body, he has no deficiencies. He is always spiritually conscious and blissful. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha. His form is eternal, blissful knowledge. Satchitananda Vigraha. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa and Kaivalya are the same. Krishna can expand himself as Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart. In Bhagavad Gita 3.13, this is confirmed. Kshetra gyam chapi mam vidi sarva kshetre shubharata. The Lord is the Paramatma, the Atma or the Super Soul, Super Self of all individual souls. Therefore, it must naturally be concluded that he has no defective bodily conceptions. Although situated in everyone's body, he has no bodily conception of life. He is always free from such conceptions, and thus he cannot be affected by anything in relation to the material body of the jiva. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tanaham dvishata kuran samsareshu naradamam shibham yajasram ashubham asrishveva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, or the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life. Whenever the Lord punishes persons like demons, however, such punishment is meant for the good of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, being envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, may accuse him, saying, Krishna is bad. Krishna is a thief, and so on. But Krishna, being kind to all living entities, does not consider such accusations. Instead, he takes into account of the conditioned soul's chanting of Krishna, Krishna, so many times. He sometimes punishes such demons for one life by putting them into a lower species, but then when they have stopped accusing him, they are liberated in the next life because of chanting Krishna's name constantly. Blaspheming the Supreme Lord or his devotee is not at all good for the conditioned souls, but Krishna, being very kind, punishes the conditioned soul in one life for such sinful activities and then takes him back home, back to Godhead. The vivid example for this is Vritrasura, who was formerly Chitraketu Maharaj, a great devotee. Because he derided Lord Shiva, the foremost of all devotees, he had to accept the body of a demon called Vritra. But when he was taken back to Godhead, when Krishna punishes a demon or a conditioned soul, he stops the soul's habit of blaspheming him. And when the soul becomes completely pure, the Lord takes him back to Godhead. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nishoshiti Nakangshiti Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Lavate Para. When one comes to the Brahma Bhuta stage, he becomes joyful. He doesn't hanker or lament, and he sees all living entities as spiritual beings. So this equanimity or this equality of vision comes when one is no longer hankering and lamenting. In the material concept of life, we need so many things, and therefore we are hankering for so many things. And those who help us get those things, they're our friends. And those who are obstacles or try to take away obstacles from obtaining what we want to get, and those who are trying to take away the things that we have, they become our enemies. So friends and enemies in the material world is according to practical dealings, either threatening us or assisting us in our endeavors for sense gratification in the material existence. But since Krishna has no material body, and since Krishna already owns everything, therefore no one can give Krishna anything. If you own everything, what can anyone give you? Nor can anyone take anything away from Krishna. Therefore Krishna has no friends to give him anything, nor any enemies who can take anything away from him. So Krishna sees everyone equally. And those who become devotees of Krishna and are satisfied in Krishna consciousness, then the prarishyat priyam prapya no dvijat prapicha priyam stira buddhira samudo brahmavid brahmani sthitaha. Person who doesn't rejoice upon obtaining something pleasant, nor lament upon obtaining something unpleasant, who's self-intelligent, unbewildered, who knows the science of God, is said to be situated in transcendence. And sparshe vyasparshe vasatatma vindatyatminiyasukam Sabrahma Yoga Yuktama Sukamakshayam Ashnute. Such a person is always in trance, enjoying the pleasure from within. And this way the self-realized soul enjoys unlimited happiness because he concentrates on the Supreme. Someone who takes pleasure in the self, who rejoices in the self, who is satisfied with the self only, he actually has no duty in the material world because he is living in the spiritual world. Therefore, as concluded here, that because Krishna has no material body and has nothing to gain in the material world, may part tarasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptamavaptavyam varta eva chakarmani. There is no work that binds me, Krishna says, may part tarasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana. There's nothing in the material world, in the three worlds, that I have to get. But I perform my activities just mamavartvanuvartante mrushaparta sarvachaha, just to set the example for others. So when Krishna comes, he performs duties in the varna and ashram system. Either he's a Brahmin or either he's a Vaishya herding cows or he's a Kshatriya protecting his kingdoms. In any case, he performs activities according to the mostly according to the regulations of the Vanashram Dharma system. He performs his duty. And at the same time, sometimes he acts as God, just to show us that he's performing his duty, but he's not an ordinary person. He may go and beg from Jarasandha some adul, or he may dance with 16,108 gopis in the Rasa dance. In any case, he's still God. He may be the little child on the lap of Mother Jasoda, or he may be showing Mother Jasoda the universal form. In any case, he's still the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. So for Krishna, there are no rules and regulations, but he acts just to set the example for others, because he says, Sankarasya Chakartasyam Upahanya Umap Praja. That if he didn't act properly, then everyone follows example. Maybe they couldn't dance with 16,108 gopis, but they find 16 at least to dance with. And it would create unwanted progeny, and it's the unwanted progeny that destroys the peace of the world. It's people that destroy the peace. Because the people are varna, sankara, then the result is they're brought up like cats and dogs. As we can see nowadays, it's perfectly normal to be a cat or a dog. Matter of fact, if you try to be a human being, you're criticized. Soon there'll be laws against human beings. But if you're advocating all kinds of sinful activities, then the government will give you, actually in America now, if you criticize anyone for their sinful activities, you can be arrested for hate speech. If you tell the truth, then they put you in jail. And if you act like a criminal, then they award you the Nobel Peace Prize. So that's called the mode of ignorance. What is that? Pravitim cha navritim cha. Actually, pravitam. Is that Bhagavad Gita? The pravitim. Adharmam dharmitiya manite tamasavritaha sarvatam viparitamscha buddhisaparta tamasi. They say that religion is irreligion and irreligion is religion, and therefore they always strive in the wrong direction. They said the knowledge, intelligence and the mode of ignorance. That intelligence which thinks that religion to be irreligion and irreligion to be religion, which always strives in the wrong direction, is said to be happiness or intelligence in the mode of ignorance. As I mentioned before, like during the Mardi Gras, the big festival they have in America, 2 million people attend. And for 1 week, there's nothing but sinful activities being performed publicly. And you can't even hear yourself think. There's so much noise from all the different rock music going on and people screaming. And the devotees, out of their kindness, they decide to have Harinam one time. And they went out to do Harinam, chanting. As soon as they were on the street, starting to chant, the police came and arrested them and charged them with disturbing the peace. So this is called adharma. Those who are trying to institute dharma, they're considered to be threats to society, for the peace of society. And those who are committing sinful activities in mass amounts, they're considered to be the supporters of modern society. If you beat a dog, you can be arrested, put into jail. But if you beat a cow, then they'll give you a job. You'll be hired. So this is called ignorance. And in such ignorance, people don't know what is pravritim, what is nivritim. And therefore, they're completely absorbed in the material conception of life. All they think about is friends and enemies. Everyone they look at, they're thinking, is this person giving me something, or is this person taking something away from me? Are they a threat, or are they going to be supporting my sense gratification, either gross or subtle? So the whole material world is simply a combination, or is simply an experience of friends and enemies. And sometimes people, we can't categorize them, so they're useless. We're indifferent to them. And indeed, because of that, at any moment, even whole countries can suddenly turn on each other. In 1984, there was a book written by Orwell, I believe. What was his name? Who wrote 1984? George Orwell. And in that book, there is three empires. And in the end, one empire is always fighting against the other. And they may declare at a moment's notice that actually the empire that they're fighting against has now become their friend, and their former friend has now become their enemy. And the hero of George Orwell's book, 1984, he working in the Ministry of Truth, and so he has to change everything around, all the history around. He has to destroy all the previous history, which declare that these other country was their enemy, and that this other country, other empire actually, was their enemy, and the other empire was their friend, and change it all around. So now the other empire, which was formerly their friend, has always been their enemy. And the other empire, which was formerly their enemy, now has to always been their friend. So he's kept engaged in that, destroying previous history and creating a new history. So this is the result of being a conditioned soul. One moment, someone is your friend if they're assisting you in your endeavors for sense gratification. And the next moment, you become completely averse to them because they're an impediment or an obstacle for one's sense gratification. And that's not only countries, even families. In English, they say when a woman and a man get together and they are engaged, they're courting. In other words, they're trying to find out if they're compatible and they court with each other. But what usually winds up in courting winds up eventually in court. Because that's the nature of sense gratification. People are thinking, now we're liberated, now we can do whatever we want, we can enjoy our senses unlimitedly. There's no, with contraception, there's an abortion, we don't have to worry about children, we just enjoy. And there's no reaction. Because there's no God, there's no laws of karma, there's nothing, there's only sense gratification. That's the demoniac consciousness. Asatyam apratishtam te jagat ohora nishvaram aparashvaram sambhutyam kimayat kama haidukam. They say that the world is unreal. It has no foundation. It has no God in control. It produces sex desire as no other cause than lust. So that's their conception. The world is unreal. Who could say the world is unreal? They have their theories that actually it's just a dream. Or it's there, it's always been there, but it's insubstantial. No one can really figure out what it is. There's definitely no God in control. It's all going on by chance. It came out of nothing, and it may one day come back into nothing. In that sense, it's unreal. If it came out of nothing, how can it be real? Has no God, has no foundation, and no God in control. It produces sex desire. The only thing that keeps things going is material desire. People keep on working because they want to enjoy their senses, and therefore they work. But what is the result? Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmano nabudaya pravanyuga karmana shaye jagato hita. Ugra karma. People are engaged in ugra karma, working hard to get hardly anything in return. And the leaders of society are trying to figure out how to destroy everything. Trying to destroy everyone and everything because they feel in control when they destroy things. They're not trying to create so much as destroy. Now that seems a little strange, but that's what happens when you're in the mode of ignorance. It's like that famous demon Banasura, who had 10,000 arms. 1,000 arms, actually. He only had 1,000. The world heavyweight champion. He was expert at boxing. He could throw 1,000 punches at the same time. It was extremely difficult to block his punches. Therefore, he was the universal heavyweight champion. And because no one would fight with him, he would have to go to mountains and smash them to pieces with his arms just to keep practice. Lord Shiva gave him that benediction because he had played on drums with 1,000 arms while Lord Shiva was dancing. So Lord Shiva was quite impressed and he gave him a benediction. One day he went to Lord Shiva and said, "My dear Lord Shiva, I've been challenging everyone in the universe to a contest for a fight, but everyone just runs away as soon as I challenge them. So my arms are itching for a fight. So please, maybe I can fight with you." But Lord Shiva said, "Oh, you foolish demon, don't worry. Soon you'll come and you'll meet someone and they'll smash your prestige to pieces, and your flag of victory will no longer fly." So you think, if you were the heavyweight champion of the universe, and someone came and said, "Someone's coming along and going to smash you in a contest," you get a little concerned and worried, maybe practice a little bit more. But actually it said that he became elated. He became enlivened to hear such a thing, because his arms had become a burden. He was always in anxiety, but he had no one to fight with to take his anxiety out. So when he heard that someone was finally going to come along and smash him, he actually became enlivened to hear such a thing. So that's the mode of ignorance, where you accumulate so much resources, so much power, and it becomes a burden. And therefore you want to get rid of it so you can relax. It's like a big businessman, he works, accumulates millions or billions of dollars, and then he wants to retire and gives it all to his children to waste. It's like this, the richest man in the world, his name was at one time Howard Hughes. He had $16 billion from oil. And he used to hitchhike. And when he was hitchhiking, he'd sometimes, the people would pick him up, he'd sign over his $16 billion to them. Because he was became insane with so much wealth. So much insane that at the end of his life, he's quarantined to one room. And no one, nothing could enter into it. Only his food would come through the slot. What's that? Come through the slot. And it would be radiated with ultraviolet rays to kill all the germs. That way he was hoping that he would live forever in that room. Unfortunately, one little virus got through and did him in. He tried. Quarantine. In his case, the quarantine didn't work. Hopefully we'll do better. In any case, this mode of ignorance, desire for destruction of oneself and everything else, that's what the mode of ignorance is, destruction. So with such a philosophy, in other words, if we actually always see friends and enemies, we're always competing to become the best. Those who actually become powerful, what they wind up is destroying themselves and trying to destroy others also. It becomes very unfortunate. But Krishna and Krishna's devotees, they can transcend that and therefore establish actual peace, harmony, and purpose of life. Without having the purpose of life to regulate the senses, fix the mind upon Krishna, then people will simply find the purpose of life in some destructive sense gratificatory activity, the name of so-called happiness and pleasure. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is explaining that Krishna is a good person. Whatever he does is for the benefit of everyone. And anyone who becomes Krishna's servant could also learn how to act for the benefit of everyone. And anyone who is not Krishna's servant, they may seemingly be friends or seemingly be enemies, but it's a pratishta. It is simply unsteady. People, their only goal is to gratify their own senses, ultimately. And their so-called friends and enemies are all judged according to simply, according to the moment. And therefore everything is unstable in the material existence. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I've been asked the question that based on this, Krishna takes no offense. He has no material body, so therefore we can't insult him, really. So why do we have offenses? The 10 offenses to the name, the other offenses in the worship, so many different offenses we speak about. What would you say?
Well, because Krishna's devotees take offense if Krishna is offended. And therefore when you offend Krishna, then Radharani kicks you out and Maya takes you in. You get kicked out of spiritual consciousness and put into the jail of Maya. Because Maya also, as it says, that, what is that, Nikatista, by here, something that Maya is alongside the living entity, and as soon as one turns one's face away, by, Krishna Bhagir Mukha Bhogavansha Tare Nikatista Tare Japatiyadare. That Krishna Bhagir Mukha, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, then at once Maya, who's next to us, she slaps us down into the material energy. So Krishna may not take offense, but his devotees do. Especially if you do something against Krishna or his devotee. They may not take personal offense if you do something against them, but if you blaspheme or do something against Krishna or his devotee, they take offense. Anything else? Okay. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.